This is a True Crime Today Hidden Killers Investigation Special, the murder of Dr. John Forsythe. Tony Brewski shares a raw, unfiltered conversation with John's brother, Richard Forsythe, as a family seeks justice.
When you found out that he was missing on May 21st, and you then found out that story, and obviously I'm not asking for the identity of who told you that whatsoever, but I do want to ask, was that a call from someone or a message from someone that immediately had suspicions that this was related to that previous kidnapping and that's why they wanted you to know?
Yes. Yes. In fact, it was about his being missing and it was brought to my attention as a, by the way, this could be related type of comment.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you know, my evening progressed terribly that evening. First, I find out my brother's missing. Second, I found out he's been kidnapped. And, you know, the evening, just I was up all night. The phone calls just kept coming. His car has been found abandoned. His phone has been smashed. All these things. His RV was left open with stuff that he would never leave behind. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And mysterious, more mysterious by the phone call and more bizarre. And yeah, that's how that day and the following day went.
I can't imagine, you know, just the circles you must have been going through in your mind and trying to piece something together when you don't have all the pieces to do that. Was anyone else in your family aware of any of these sort of things, of anything possible negative other than the individual who informed you of that previous kidnapping? What was, I guess, the status on your brother? Was with everybody just normal life?
No, you know, I waited until about 8 a.m. the following morning because I thought, you know, these guys need at least one night's sleep because this is going to be a roller coaster. So I started getting the word out with family at about 8 a.m. the following morning, and everyone was completely shocked. And my objective that morning until about noon was to get a hold of anybody who could know anything and try to find any information. And so I was calling work associates, acquaintances, cousins, anybody I could think of. And I don't even remember who I talked to specifically, but a lot of individuals, and they in turn talked to individuals. And so the word just started getting out and people just started soliciting information from anyone who could know. And everybody I talked to was absolutely shocked, horrified, as I was, about what was going on, about what could be going on. No one had heard a single thing about this kidnapping thing. No one had any inkling of an idea of whether he was in danger and specifically why and from whom. Nobody had any clue. And so we were all just shocked and dumbfounded and still are. I've been telling people, and this is the God's honest truth, I know less today about what's going on than on May 21st when he went missing, because there were things I thought I knew. Now I don't. Now I'm unlearning things.
What are some of those things that you thought you knew that now have come to light and aren't exactly what you expected?
I knew that my brother led a fairly compartmentalized life and that he had secrets, but I had no idea how deep that ran. I had no idea that, well, he was at least communicating to some individuals that he believed that he was in a lot of danger, that he could be killed. No idea. This is a person I am very close to. The family, you know, they say to each other and to media, Richard was the closest to John Forsythe.
Sure.
To JR. And I don't know the most important thing that's going on in his life. I didn't know. I didn't know that he had a girlfriend. I didn't know that they're having a baby. I didn't know even that he proposed to her. I didn't know that he had 19 LLCs and a C Corp. I didn't know that. Why did I not know that? Look, I was his factotum. I was his hatchet man, if you will, kind of in business terms, the guy who did the work that he didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. I would be the guy who fired someone because that he found that distasteful. I would be the guy who took the trip to the place that he didn't want to go. And I don't know about this stuff. It's amazing to me. Bank accounts I didn't know about. I handled a lot of his financial affairs for a long time. His estate, his will, and the operating agreement governing the corporation that we erected to handle the intellectual property for ONFO. He had documentation about that I originally drafted. He claimed that he amended them. We can't find those documents. There's a lot of bizarre stuff going on about this guy. And chief of all, me not knowing about the kidnapping, that's bizarre to the extreme to me. And the way I reason it, him not telling me about this makes no sense, because my being ignorant is not something that bad guys can take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
My proximity to him implicates me the end.
Sure.
And so if he knows something or has got something they want, and he's out of the picture now and they still haven't got it, then
yeah,
that's me. You know, I mean, any fool would assume that, and the public at large is assuming that, and they're assuming that I know more because I'm not telling more, because it makes no sense that I don't know more. But here we are.
Sure.
I don't know more. And it is so strange to me and hurtful.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, you're just trying to tell your story and raise awareness here, because this is a very bizarre, unsolved death as of this moment. And to lose the person that you know, were so close to, and then at the same time, it's got to be somewhat heartbreaking to realize you really, you know, there was a whole other side to this person that you were unaware of. When you look at this, and I'm sure there's been a thousand different scenarios that have run through your mind in these last many months. I mean, is there anything that you've speculated on that makes any sense to you at all of, you know, motive for someone wanting to go after him? And did he have enemies somewhere? Because everything we know, he seemed like a very lovely, nice, wonderful person.
That, he really was.
That doesn't, you know, but, you know, when it gets into business, and sometimes, you know, through no fault of his own, you know, maybe there are, of course, you know, just shady people out there that will try and take advantage of someone's goodness. Is that something where maybe this stems into? Was there something that you can think of, any path that was going on in the world of crypto that would have turned someone the wrong way to not only do that initial kidnapping, but if it is connected, which most people don't get kidnapped once in their life, one would assume it would likely be connected to his death.
Right. As far as my thoughts and what I've wondered about, what I've wondered is the cause of all this. My thoughts have run the gamut, and I've wondered if it could be a jealous ex. I've wondered if it could be a drug dealer or a drug transaction gone wrong. He was looking for DMT at the time that he died.
Mm-hmm.
He communicated that to me, and I didn't especially want to broadcast that around the world. I don't really have any illicit drug sources, but I guess I know people who know people, and I thought maybe someone might know someone who can provide him some safe DMT. He wanted DMT because he was obsessed. He was absolutely driven to figure out this problem of post-RSA encryption. And brief background on this, quantum computing is rising quickly. Right now, it seems like a lot of attention's on AI, but quantum computing advancement is rising very fast. And he envisioned a world in which quantum computing became strong enough to brute force any conventional digital security. And so this was a concern specifically for us as cryptocurrency founders, because, you know, the security of a cryptocurrency is essential to its operations. But also, we were concerned about a world in which bad faith actors, organized crime, corrupt government had access to technology like this, a world in which there is no digital privacy, no digital security. And it seemed a very dangerous thing to us, and something that could be used to oppress a lot of people. Our minds being very keyed into the plight of poor individuals, forgotten and oppressed individuals around the world, we, you know, this was sort of a natural path for us. And so he and I stumbled across this dilemma, and he chiefly had been working on this issue, and he believed that DMT could help expand his mind. He believed that the answer to this mathematical problem would be in essentially experiencing a near-death experience through DMT, which is what people do. If you go onto YouTube and you listen to people's accounts of DMT trips, it's pretty wild stuff, but strangely consistent across experiencers. And so leading that back to my original comment, why I brought that up, my first assumption when he went missing and when they found his body was that it was a bad drug deal, mm-hmm. or that he had taken DMT unassisted and aspirated or something. I was horrified that he did that. I told him, I said, if you can ever get DMT, make sure you've got someone. I'll be there to make sure you breathe, to make sure you've got what you need so you don't choke on your tongue or something.
Yeah.
So that was my first assumption. It was some kind of bad drug deal. You deal with drug dealers, you get bad stuff. So but there's been no evidence to support that. I had also supposed perhaps a jealous ex-boyfriend of a girl he dated. As far as I know, there's been no evidence to support that. Then there's the story of the kidnapping, which is very low-hanging fruit in all this. I have no specific knowledge to link that to my brother's disappearance and death, but
yeah,
we all are, and because it's so sinister and spooky, and two, he claimed to certain individuals over time that event was ongoing, that it wasn't fully resolved, and that the issue at hand was still a danger to him and to people he cared about. And so we have his word, we have his voice from beyond the grave saying that it's about the kidnapping. So according to third party individuals, not me, because he never confided any of this to me. So the kidnapping, crypto, what could it be about? I have no idea. So if it's about crypto, some crypto he's got, some crypto that I don't know, could it be about Onfo? I don't understand why it would be. Yes, it could be. Onfo is, from certain people's point of view, I think, up to no good. We're disruptors. We're giving people an avenue for free speech in third world countries where oppression is the rule. So yeah, enemies. In the course of pursuing Onfo as a concept, we have come across hackers and bad faith actors who have, stolen from us or attempted to steal from us. We've thwarted some of them. Thwarting them has made them very angry. We had a run-in with a fellow who launched it was like a 5-week DDoS attack on our system because we stopped him from stealing a bunch of funds from some of our account holders. The money at hand in that particular disagreement was only about $8,000. So it doesn't seem to me to be enough to motivate a person, especially a foreign individual, to cross an ocean to get revenge. So, but who knows? I mean, who knows how far people's pride will drive them to despicable acts? I don't know. That's it. Like, besides that, I can imagine that maybe he just, I don't know, maybe he borrowed money from someone. I have no specific information that he did. But, this is sort of the Hollywood story. You borrow money from shady individuals and you don't pay it back on their ever-changing terms. And then you get yourself kneecapped or whatever. I have no idea. The public has perhaps as much latitude and possibility of success as I do in imagining what is going on here.
Sure.
The police seem to have nothing.
Yeah.
They've told us that they've found no evidence of foreign actor involvement or cryptocurrency involvement, though it should be said that in a criminal investigation, the police are not obligated to tell the truth in the course of an ongoing investigation. So I don't know if that's part of a misinformation campaign to elicit information. I don't know. I really don't know what the truth is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the police have. I know that what seems to be the case is that they don't have much to be going on if this is about cryptocurrency and foreign actors. They don't seem to have found much information. So
there's more to come in this True Crime Today Hidden Killers Investigation Special, The Murder of Dr. John Forsythe. Press subscribe so you don't miss any part of Tony's raw and open conversation with John's brother, Richard Forsythe, exclusively on the Hidden Killers podcast.